There was a whole Reddit thread about how I sucked as a writer because of that book. And I actually screenshotted a line where they were like, "Beware Jake Black." And that was like my cover photo on Facebook for a while, where I was just like, "Oh, come on, man. I didn't intentionally write a crappy book."
Hello everyone and welcome back to the Regular Show Wiki's 15th anniversary interviews. Today's guest is a book writer who wrote two books for the show, with Tales from Regular Show and a big summer vacation activity book. Please welcome Jake Black.
Hey everybody, how are you? How are you doing? Got a Tales here, and then we pulled out the old summer activity book too. Excited to go. Let's go.
So we'll go back to the very beginning. How did you first get into writing?
I've always kind of been a writer. When I was a kid, I was writing what we would now call fan fiction. I don't know that it was called that then. But I was a big Star Trek fan, and I'd written a 40-page Star Trek The Next Generation story when I was 11, and sent it to a guy named Bob Greenberger, who was the editor of Star Trek Comics at DC, and just asked for advice on writing, while secretly hoping that he would think it was brilliant and publish it, which he did not. But he did send me a letter basically saying, "Keep at it, write every day. You got this, you're doing great." And essentially ever since then, I've been writing. In 2001, I went through a bad breakup and I was at university and needed to get away for a while because she and I were in the same major. And I heard a radio ad for the TV show Smallville, and I applied to be an intern on that show. On my first day, they were like, what do you want your emphasis to be?" And I just kind of blurted out writing. And so I was the writer's intern on the first season of that show. And from there, it just kind of blossomed into writing comics and other TV shows and books and magazines and trading cards. And so I've been doing this for almost 25 years professionally, but really about 40 plus years just as a person. Yeah.
We'll get onto Regular Show itself in a moment, but you have written for other Cartoon Network properties. You've done Adventure Time, The Amazing World of Gumball, and you've also done stuff for Ben 10, including on the TV show.
Correct. Yeah, I did an episode of Ben 10 Alien Force called Busy Box. And then I did a bunch of comics, Ben 10 comics, Generator X comics. Also did a few Batman, The Brave and the Bold books based on episodes, and ended up writing an episode of that show as well. I wrote an episode of Generator Rex too, yeah.
I hope this doesn't make you feel old at all, but those shows were essentially my childhood.
Yeah, no, I actually was talking to my wife about that very thing last night. So I teach a writing course at the University of Connecticut, and last semester I had a student write about Regular Show, and it occurred to me then, and then, you know, as I was preparing for today, how those who watched the shows as kids are now podcasters. And so it's, you know, they're talking about the things that they love that I was involved with as an adult, but now they're adults. And so it doesn't make me feel old at all. It's just, it's the natural evolution of things. And yeah, I definitely understand it.
How were you approached then to write? Because you've written two books for Regular Show, the first being Tales from Regular Show. How were you approached to write that?
You know, I honestly don't remember. I had a really good relationship with Penguin Young Readers, and they had the Cartoon Network master license. And I don't remember. I think I did Adventure Time first, and I did a Steven Universe for them as well. But the Steven Universe was around the same time as these Regular Show books, as I recall. But I had been working with them on some things, and as a working writer, I just wanted to get work, right? And they started coming to me with, "Well, do you want to do this? Do you want to do this? Do you want to do this?" And I always said yes. I'd seen a couple episodes of Regular Show before I did the books, and when they offered it to me again, my policy was never say no, and so I said, "Yeah, let's do it." And then I binged what I think at that point was the first 2.5 seasons were out. It takes about a year from the time I start writing the book until it comes out.
And within the book, it's, of course, three short stories. So we'll talk briefly about the first story, Star Warriors, which follows Rigby's obsession with this terrible actor called Bill Carpenter.
Who is not William Shatner. Whatever you think, he is not William Shatner.
I think that might indirectly answer one of my questions. I remember, I think I got this book when I was 13. So we're going back about, I mean, this book was about 11 years ago now, I think, which is crazy.
11 or 12 years ago, yeah.
When my little cousin, who was 5 at the time, I read the book to him and he was fully engaged in it as well. I think that was his first kind of step into anything to do with Regular Show. So we've spoke briefly about Star Warriors. We'll talk about the next one, which is Date Night.
Based on a true story. Because it is. It truly is based on a true story. For New Year's Eve, in I want to say 2001, going into 2002, I had asked this girl out that I'd been on one date with, and she kind of ghosted me. We did, that's not what it was called then, but that's, you know, and not high five ghost, because that would have ruled. but she ghosted me, and I had tickets to a local theater, live theater production, and I had been working in live theater. I knew all the people that were working on the show, and I was really excited about it. And on New Year's Eve, they go all out at the theater. They pause the show. They start the show late, and then they pause it at midnight. There's hors d'oeuvres and party favors and the whole thing, and it's really a really fun time. And I remembered, like, I called everyone in my phone. It, again, though, this was 2001, so it wasn't really in my phone, but that's what we would call it now. Going through the Rolodex, as they say. Just everyone was like, "Oh, I can't. Sorry, no." I was so frustrated. And finally, I remembered a religious leader had said that there was a girl that might be interested in me. And I had no interest in her whatsoever, but I had this ticket. I needed a date. So I called her, and she was excited. We went on the date, which was it was fun, and we had a good time. But the things like swallowing the toothpick and stuff like that actually happened on that date. A lot of the stuff that Benson experiences is directly pulled from that date. And I'd actually written a personal essay version of that for a story contest at university, and it actually won because it was the contest of the worst date ever. But yeah, I mined from my life and pulled out a good story.
So I'm assuming, though, that it didn't end with her turning into a giant, actual, real troll.
Yeah, no. She had a very strict curfew of midnight, and we explained that, well, it's New Year's Eve, and so her parents were like, "All right, 1 o'clock, but not a minute later." And I was racing home. And it was icy, and it was such a disaster, but it made for a great story.
So we'll talk about the last of the three stories in that book, Identity Theft. Now I just remember when I was reading this, my jaw must have completely dropped at the end when it's revealed that this identity thief has been the destroyer of worlds from Regular Show. How did that kind of come about? How did you decide on that being the twist?
At the time, there wasn't a lot to mine from the show, because it ended up running for what, like 7 or 8 seasons, right? And we were just into the third when I was hired to write it. So there weren't a lot of bad guys to pull from. They didn't really want me creating my own stuff, which is typical for licensed fiction like this. It's you're playing with someone else's toys, and it's their sandbox, and so you play by their rules. And I saw the original episode with that character and thought it could be a really interesting and good character to use as a villain.
I love these ideas that, like, the Destroyer of Worlds is like this all-wide, like, digital entity who can sign up for a credit card in Mordecai's name. It's just absolutely great.
I think at the time too, and the timing might be off, but I know that this had happened. I don't know how close it was to the story, but I'd had that kind of a similar experience, where I had used my card to buy some gas, and they had put a skimmer on the gas pump, which tracked my information, and people used my card for other purchases, and it was a whole thing to get that resolved. So again, drawing from life up a little bit.
But I mean, it's great when we can make good stories out of bad situations.
Yeah, for sure.
So, how do you go about writing a story?
I was digging into my files on my computer here to see if I still had my pitches. Typically, what happens, and I'm sure this is what happened with Regular Show, even though I don't have the documentation anymore, is they would come to me and say, "We are doing a Regular Show short story collection. We'd love for you to write three short stories, pitch us maybe half a dozen ideas, and then we will pick the ones that we like and go to Cartoon Network, and then Cartoon Network will pick the ones they like, and we'll go from there." And so I did that. I don't have the pitches anymore though, so I can't tell you what was rejected, which I'm really kind of bummed about, because I would love to share that. I just double checked another folder on my computer and they were not there. But what I will typically do is I will take those pitches, and they're pretty well fleshed out, so there's enough of the story that Cartoon Network as the licensor will know enough to approve it or decline it. But I also leave it vague enough that I have a little bit of space to play. And what I will do is, depending on the format of the assignment, if I'm writing like a comic, I've been doing some Rick and Morty comics recently. If I'm doing Rick and Morty comics, then I will take that same pitch and I will outline each page break. I want this action to occur here. On a book like the Regular Show book, it's a word count more. And so I try to break it down into beats. And it's usually about thirds, maybe quarters of, I need this much action to occur in this many words, and I need this action to occur in the next 500 words or whatever it is, and then be able to wrap it up in 500 words. And so I have that sort of outline, and then I'll take that and just start writing. And sometimes I need to make adjustments because maybe the first act is going a little long, and so I need to trim back act three because I don't want to lose anything act two and that kind of thing. But it's more on the fly rather than really specifically, in the weeds, drilled down, broken out. I just want to show you, there are actually three versions of the Tales from the Regular Show. So if you're a Regular Show completist and you're listening to this, I just want to point out that there's the standard one that was like the general available one. This is an Australian version, cover is a little bit different. And then there's a Portuguese version. So if you're that hardcore, and I know fans, because I'm one, you can see behind me, I'm just letting you know there are multiple editions of Tales from the Regular Show.
All I've got is the original standard one, but I need to stop putting things next to me because it doesn't the green screen thing doesn't like it. But yeah, so you've written a different style of book for regular show as well, and I'm just curious to know how different is it to, like, what is the actual process behind making an activity book? Because that's something that's always kind of been a curiosity of mine.
Yeah, sure. So I actually did my first activity book in 2006 for WWE. And I did a few of those. And then I did some for Turtles, and I did a Gumball one. I did an Adventure Time one. And they're almost templated out for me at this point, where I know the types of activities that will work, I know how to create them. You just think about, what's the target audience? Well, in this case, it's for like 9-year-olds. So what kind of things would 9-year-olds find fun, but also a little bit challenging? And you just start kind of laying it out. And the first one I did for Turtles, they sent me samples of previous ones, and so I knew the kind of thing that worked. And so I just started kind of tweaking those same types of activities for a Regular Show theme. again, the publisher came to me and was like, "Do you want to do this activity book?" Yeah, sure, that sounds fun. And they said they wanted it to be summer themed. They wanted it to be, tie into regular show. Yeah. And so we just kind of crafted activities that could tie in organically to those kind of thematic elements that they wanted.
One thing that I find really interesting about the book is that a good majority of the activities within it are loosely based off different episodes. And I think that's great when you have like those direct tie-ins as well.
Yeah, and those are more fun for me too, because it's like, I'm demonstrating that I actually do follow the show, and I, there's not a lot of shows that I've seen every episode of, but Regular Show is definitely one of them, and my kids love it, and it's multi-generational in our house, which, again, translates into an activity book like that in a lot of kind of fun ways.
I can remember the summer when I got this. I think it had only been out for a couple months, but coming back and it was like the coolest thing ever because not only was it an activity book, but it had stickers and postcards.
Yeah.
And I've got the postcards here as well. Oh, that wasn't a very good.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, I saw them. Good, good. Yeah, let's see what the year on this one is, if it's got that in this one. Yeah, 2015 was this one. Yeah, happy 10th anniversary, summer of big activity adventure. Yeah, Margaret running a maze to catch her airplane. Lots of stuff like that. That's really little. Like little winks and tie-ins.
All the stickers from it, I used to have them like on my bed frame. Now, I don't have that bed frame anymore, but we do have like we put the stickers on like this transparent sheet, but I've got no idea where they went to.
No. That's a bummer, man.
Now I've just realized we missed a question for Tales from Regular Show.
Oh, okay, good. Let's go back. Can I read the Portuguese version? No.
I guess in a way it could tie into the activity book as well, but who would you say is your favorite character to have written for?
Well, it's my favorite to have written for and my favorite on the show, and that's Mordecai. Definitely Mordecai.
The real Mordecai, not the arcade version of Mordecai.
No, correct. Yeah, correct. Yeah, real Mordecai. I don't know. I just, I was always kind of tall and skinny, and I just think he's hilarious. I love Rigby. I love pretty much everyone on the show. I mentioned I worked for Smallville, and one of the things I wrote was DVD features, and Mark Hamill narrated one of those. So whenever I see skips, I'm like, oh yeah, he's read my words. I will say, I was hoping you would ask me, Margaret or CJ.
Well, Margaret or CJ, who would you?
Who would I want for Mordecai? I'm all in on CJ. I prefer CJ super hard. And I wish he hadn't screwed that up so badly. Yeah, but it ended up being neither of them. So, yeah. So just speaking of favorite characters too, like around our house, we will just sometimes some of us will just shout out, "Stop talking!" We just love the show. We love the show, and it's been really fun that I've been able to work on it in the past. Yeah, work on the books anyway.
With that, if there was ever to, because of course, I'm sure you might have heard the news about Regular Show coming back. If they were to make more books on Regular Show, would you be interested in going back to do them?
Yeah, absolutely. I after these books came out, I actually sent copies of them to I think it was Boom Studios had the comics license. I tried writing comics. They never got back to me, which is fine. That happens in comics publishing sometimes. And ideally, to be honest, I would love to write an episode of the show, but I don't know how realistic that is at this point in my career either, as I've kind of drifted away from my animation writing.
Hopefully we can see like written by Jake Black.
Yeah, maybe. Like I said though, I haven't been writing animation for a very long time, so I don't know how realistic that is. I've been doing some other TV writing, but not that kind.
What would you say are your main inspirations when you are creating any form of media, whether it be books or comics?
Well, I do pull from my life sometimes. It's really interesting when I started writing the Ben 10 comics, I would just get in my car and go for a drive and just think about Ben 10 and what kind of stories could work. And is there anything from my life that I could maybe draw from? I had a Rick and Morty comic come out a year ago that was very, very much like a personal deconstruction for me. And we talked about the date night and drawing from that. I don't want to say everything I write comes from my life because that's absolutely not true. And I do try to kind of connect with the audience in ways that are applicable for our modern kind of sensibilities, like things that are happening in the world that may be accessible to an audience, even though that ends up being kind of a time capsule in a way. I think it's helpful for an audience to engage if there is, whether it's a timeless kind of experience or a timely kind of experience, as long as there's that entry point and a connection point for the audience, that's what matters.
And going back to either of the books, of course, you mentioned that there were some other things which you'd pitched, but you don't have access to them, or they're just gone. Is there any other things that you, any other stories that you would have wanted to tell that you can think of, or that maybe you look back at it now and be like, oh, that could have been a cool story to go in with Regular Show or.
Not really that I recall. I'm just checking one last place to see if I do in fact have them, but it's not looking good. I would have liked, I think, to have been able to do a more of a CJ story, because I really did love her. But otherwise, yeah, I don't know that there was any burning Regular Show story that I just had to get out of me. Or that, if I were asked to pitch something tomorrow, I would probably go for a drive and think about it. But just right at this very moment, let me play CJ and we'll see. I did a Steven Universe one, which is, it ended up not being what it was advertised as because the publisher had advertised it as something before I'd started writing it, and it ended up that we weren't able to do some of the things that the like they advertised that some things would be in the book, and then Cartoon Network was like, you can't put those in the book. And consequently, it's like my worst reviewed writing of all time, such that people were like, don't buy any of his other Cartoon Network books, he sucks. And so I wish that I had, I don't want to say taken a better stab at that book, but I wish we could have massaged it to be more or closer to what was promised than what was delivered.
I mean, I think that's crazy that people would be like, oh, don't buy his other books because this one book wasn't what it was
Oh yeah,
advertised as.
it was really funny because there was a whole Reddit thread about how I sucked as a writer because of that book. And I actually screenshotted a line where they were like, "Beware Jake Black." And that was like my cover photo on Facebook for a while, where I was just like, oh, come on, man. I didn't intentionally write a crappy book. And like you look at Tales from Regular Show, I feel like that one's pretty good. So you're missing out, jaded Steven Universe fan.
Another thing within the Cartoon Network franchises is that you've done a official guide to Adventure Time.
So I did a couple actually. There was one that has a red cover that was actually UK exclusive, and that one I think is kind of the more thorough guide. And then I did like the Traveler's Guide to the Land of Ooo. Then I did like the Wit and Wisdom of Jake and Finn, and I think I had done the Traveler Guide first. And Penguin Publishing in the UK saw that and was like, oh, this is really good. He understands the universe. And part of my specialty as a writer is histories of fictional universes. And so I think they'd seen that that travel guide and then some of the other things that I'd done, and just asked if I wanted to do the ultimate guide to Adventure Time. And again, I just never said no because I needed the work. As I recall, and again, this may be completely wrong. Actually, I know where the files for that are. So let's yeah, so they sent me a page breakdown of what they wanted on every page. And it looks like I didn't see the art, but they told me, like, it's literally broken out page by page. Page one is the title page. Page two is imprint. Page three is a welcome. Four and five are contents. Six is a brief history of Ooh. Seven is as well. Eight and nine is a map. 10 is the grasslands, and so on. And it looks like most of them were double page spreads. And they sent me a brief too, like an outline that describes the tone and notes, and it says, yes, 300 to 400 words per page spread. Yeah. So that one was definitely more the work for hire. We're giving you everything you need to produce. A very different experience than these regular show books.
The reason why I mention that is because I always thought it'd be cool to have something similar to that for regular show. I don't think the history of the universe is quite as documented within regular show. It is very similar to just our world.
They kind of did lay out that history though in the final episodes, right? With Pops and his origin and Bizarro Pops and all of that. Which it felt really rich watching that. And I think that would be really fun to dig into and kind of create that history as well.
Have you got any sort of advice for people who want to enter the industry?
Yeah, so two things. First of all, I was on a podcast 12, 13 years ago, and apparently said, this was a fiction writing podcast called Writing Excuses. Brandon Sanderson, who's a big fantasy writer, was on book tour, and I was filling in for him on that show. He was one of the regular contributors to that show. And it sounds like something I would have said, which, so I believe that it is, but I've seen memed periodically a quote from that podcast where I said, aspiring writer, I hate that phrase, because you're either a writer or you're not. So that's my first bit of advice, is don't consider yourself an aspiring writer. If you want to be a writer, sit down and write. That's it. You know, I understand the phrase. I just don't want people limiting themselves or stigmatizing themselves in that way. You know, when I was on my first day at Smallville, not my first day, but within the first few days of Smallville, I was sitting with a pair of writers on the show, and they were asking me about my background, and I was telling them how I would write fan fiction, even though that's not what it was called, because I wanted to read these stories. And they both said that that was just a really incredible way to start. So, you know, write that regular show story because you want to read it. No one else may, but if you want to read it, you want to experience it, then make it. And it probably won't be good, but that's okay. That's not what this is about. And then I will say what I was advised in that letter from Bob Greenberger in 1991. If you want to write, write every day. Another layer on that is something that I heard Stan Lee say in a documentary about comic books. He said, write every day, and it doesn't matter what you write. You can journal, you can write a newsletter, you can write emails. Just make sure that you write every day, because then you're building a facility with words, and you are learning as you go how to more clearly express yourself as a writer in maybe not necessarily the most public of forums, but it's still getting your reps in like any other activity that you want to get better at. And I've also heard and kind of believe this is true, the first million words are crap. Once you get past a million words, then you start turning out something that's, you know, they'll pay you for. So that's I've kind of followed that throughout my career, throughout my life. And then I would also say, if you want to be a professional writer, shoot your shots. Don't send manuscripts to publishers, unsolicited. But if you go to a comic con and the publisher has a presence there, talk to their editors, talk to people, and just start making contacts such that when opportunities arise, you may be the one to take those opportunities. And if you're writing every day, you'll be ready.
Well, we're coming close to wrapping up for this interview now. But before we finish, I'd just like to ask, is there anything that you've got that's come out recently or that's coming up in the future that you'd like to promote?
So I am the main writer for several different trading card lines. I do Star Trek trading cards, I did Cheers trading cards, I do thousands of WWE trading cards, which is great. Former WWE employee, written tons of books for them. My latest Rick and Morty comic came out is Rick and Morty Spring Breakout. I have a there's three stories in that one, four stories in that one, and I have one of those short stories in that. So you can check that out. And there are a couple of announcements due any minute now. But I can't talk about those things yet. Once they're announced, though, keep an eye out.
And where can people follow you if they want to hear about what those announcements are?
Yeah, so you can visit jakeblack.com. That's not frequently updated, but that's a good place to visit. And then I'm at Jake Boy Slim, JakeBoySlim. All across the socials. I don't, my ex account isn't really active anymore. I actually nuked it, but it's still there because I want to own the name. But pretty much everywhere else you can find me.
That's great. Thank you very much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm, like I said, I'm glad to be here. And go hunt out that Portuguese version of Tales of Regular Show.
Thank you once again to Jake Black for joining us for this interview. Once again, if you are interested in reading more of Jake's work, then visit jakeblack.com and follow him on social media at JakeBoySlim. These links will also be available in the description, as well as a link to order his latest Rick and Morty book. Next time, we'll be speaking with Sam Spina, a storyboard artist who boarded various episodes in the show's final two seasons. Here's a preview.
The art director, Paula, had to call all the board artists to have a meeting because our action notes weren't up to snuff and they were kind of confusing. And there was a sequence where Rigby was playing Dance Dance Revolution and I put in Rigby plays DDR, and that very much confused Paula, who had never heard of DDR before, didn't know what I was talking about. So she did have to call a big meeting about we got to do better on action notes and use my stuff as the example. And it was very when I had just started, it was in my first few months. So that was a maybe a traumatic moment early on.